Our next guest was executive editor at the National Enquirer in 2016 when his boss told him the tabloid had paid former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal $150,000 to not publish her claim of an affair with Donald Trump. He was also there when the paper printed lies about Trump's rivals, lies like Ted Cruz's father had something to do with the assassination of JFK, big lie. Lachlan Cartwright was uneasy about what he'd learned was a practice called catch and kill, buying and not printing negative stories to protect friends of David Pecker, publisher of the tabloid, or making up and publishing stories about Pecker's friends' enemies. As Judge Juan Merchan laid out to jurors at the start of Trump's hush money trial this week, the allegations now are that Donald Trump falsified business records to conceal an agreement with others to unlawfully influence the 2016 presidential election. And this week, David Pecker testified on the stand. He was part of that agreement. Court is in recess today. Pecker comes back to the stand tomorrow. Lachlan Cartwright is now special correspondent for The Hollywood Reporter. He is covering the Trump trial. He joins us now. Lachlan, welcome.
G'day. It's great to be here.
Well, and we want to jump right in and start with this week. You left your job as executive editor at The Enquirer after leaking news about this catch and kill to The Wall Street Journal, to The New Yorker's Ronan Farrow. So what was it like to sit in the courtroom reporting for The Hollywood Reporter with David Pecker on the stand and hear him admit to this secret pact that he made when Donald Trump and Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, asked him to help them in the election? He said he'd be their eyes and ears. You're sitting there. What was that like?
It was truly surreal. Firstly, because I have not seen David Pecker since I left American media, which was in the summer of 2017. And so firstly, to see him, this person that created an incredibly toxic working environment, and then to see him in court where he, you know, it's been several years, so obviously he's aged. It was just really a surreal experience. And then to hear him in forensic detail yesterday sort of detail this meeting that happened at Trump Tower, where he is present with Michael Cohen and Donald Trump, where he says, I'll be the eyes and ears of the campaign. I'll purchase negative stories off the market, and I'll run negative stories about your rivals while also running positive stories about yourself. All these pieces are further fitting into place for me, because then he detailed yesterday how he then went to Dylan Howard, my direct boss, and told him about this, but also swore him to secrecy.
Well, you talk about all these pieces falling into place. You were white, like the guy with one hand on one foot of the elephant. You didn't really know when you first went to the Enquirer how it fully worked. You went there because, honestly, they were going to pay you more money than the Daily News. You rationalized that they did employ real reporters who, for instance, tied O.J. Simpson to the murders in L.A. They did some hard digging, but there was another side to the paper that you started to see. How did David Pecker run this paper? How did, for instance, he shape stories to fit headlines?
Through fear, firstly. But secondly, there were cover meetings. And as David Pecker detailed in testimony, the cover was all important. And so you had these cover meetings where all the editors would assemble and he would want additions or suggestions, which would then mean we would have to twist the story to help fit those covers.
So if there's a great picture they could Photoshop that made Hillary Clinton look like she'd gained 103 pounds, which is what the headline screened, then the story had to fit that. But if it didn't fit in his need to protect his friends. So, for instance, the first woman who was going to the police to talk about Harvey Weinstein, the fallen movie mogul, groping her, that got killed. So you started to see this, the false stories that were made up, the true stories that you as a reporter wanted to report that were ignored. When David Pecker finished his testimony, again, the court is in recess today, he's back tomorrow, he had been introducing the idea of the former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal, who claimed a year-long affair with Donald Trump. Your boss, Dylan Howard, told you she was paid $150,000 so that the paper could kill her story. At this point, you say you were feeling suffocated about what was happening at the Enquirer, sick to your stomach, you were drinking a lot. You leaked that information to the Wall Street Journal. They called the Enquirer to ask formally about it. They were going to go with that story that Karen McDougal had been paid off. What did you then have to scramble to do?
Well, firstly, I said to the Wall Street Journal reporter, Lucas Alpert when he called me on the eve of the election and asked me if I knew anything about a woman named Karen McDougall. And I said, you know, I'm taking a huge risk if I help you with this. And I knew if I used an old school tabloid term, Robin, it would give me some cover because it was a term that the old timers used and not something that I would say. And I said to Lucas Alpert, this was a catch and kill. And I was able then to outlay to him that Dylan Howard had interviewed Karen McDougall. He told me he found her story credible, but he also told me that, David Pecker had bought that story off the market for $150,000 with the intention to kill it to protect Donald Trump.
But then when the Wall Street Journal prints all of this, the Inquirer says, no, the money wasn't to kill her story. It was to purchase her life rights to any relationship she'd had with any married man, as well as 2 years of fitness columns and magazine covers. Did you have to make up those fitness columns?
So that's how they managed to spin it. And I then had to instruct a reporter to ghostwrite those fitness columns. And he got on a call with Karen McDougall while also cribbing fitness tips off the, internet.
And so that was gave the appearance that they were paying her for something. Look, the goal was also to tell lies about Donald Trump's rivals. This was in the primary. This is including the lie about Republican candidate Ted Cruz's father being involved in the Kennedy assassination. A total lie, but it hits the Inquirer. It's picked up by mainstream media. And Trump goes on Fox News. Here, again, what he's saying is completely false, echoing the false lie that you helped put in the National Enquirer. Let's listen.
What was he doing with Lee Harvey Oswald shortly before the death, before the shooting? It's
crazy.
Horrible.
And Ted Cruz was forced to respond. Here he is, May 2016, at a press conference in Evansville, Indiana.
Donald Trump alleges that my dad was involved in assassinating JFK. Now, let's be clear. This is nuts. The man cannot tell the truth, but he combined...
And Lachlan Cartwright, this week, David Pecker acknowledged that the Inquirer completely made up that story, faked the photo. It never happened. What did you think in the time while this was happening, watching this metastasize, go from this phony story to something that impacted that race?
I watched that Ted Cruz press conference live on CNN in Dylan Howard's office, and I was just absolutely dumbfounded that this, you know, Inquirer cover that at the time, you know, while I was, you know, totally horrified that we were doing some of this stuff, also felt that it was, you know, totally meaningless and who's going to believe this? And the story had managed to jump the shark that it was now national news in reputable news organizations. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of standing there going, this is just totally bizarre to me.
Yeah. Well, on the personal side, during this whole time, your dad became ill and died. You depended on your job at the Inquirer for your visa, you know, to stay in the U.S., you're from Australia. You write you were drinking a lot, it sounds like, hopeless, angry. You finally get out and then there's lawsuits against you, there's non-disclosure things, there's threats about your visa. How are you feeling now watching this unfold? I'm wondering if you're feeling vindicated or even sicker, because there is a good chance that what the Inquirer did impacted the 2016 election, that if these stories about Donald Trump had gotten out in the fullness of them, right after he made the comments about groping women, it might have changed the outcome of that election. How are you feeling?
Yeah, look, I became a source for a number of different outlets to try and get some of this information out in the bloodstream in real time with the Wall Street Journal on the eve of the election, and then subsequent to that with the New York Times and the New Yorker and the Associated Press. It's been cathartic. Sort of hearing this being aired in court, because this is what I was whispering to friends late at night in bars, saying, hey, there's something going on here. You know, I think that there's something a bit more than just a series of hit pieces. And I think that there actually might be sort of an agreement in place here, but I had nothing to go off. There was no hard proof. And my friends would say to me, Lachlan, you need to chill out. You need to stop drinking. You're turning into a conspiracy theorist. And now I'm hearing it in court, in testimony, from David Pecker, and it's confirming everything that I had thought, you know, in real time, but just had no way to prove it. So it has just been an unreal experience, and David Pecker's legacy is this. This is someone who wanted to be the publisher of Time Inc. He's going to be known for these catch and kill deals. He's going to be known for, you know, helping to influence the 2016 election, as is Dylan Howard, who's the other person who took this deal with the feds to turn, you know, witness, and they both testified in front of the grand jury.
Lachlan Cartwright, we'll let you go, but have you made eye contact with David Pecker? Does he even know who you are?
So, yes, he does. And I did attempt to make eye contact with him, but he's exiting out of a door that there just wasn't moment for us to lock eyes. But I do hope in the next few days of testimony, there'll be that opportunity. I do want to look him in the eyes and you know, for him to think, you know, this is someone he threatened with a $5 million lawsuit, someone he's pursued legally, because I, you know, have broken, you know, my non-disclosure agreement. I am now publicly breaking it. And I want him to know that I've come out the other side of this. And he is, you know, here testifying at, you know, these very serious matters.
Lachlan Cartwright, former executive editor of the National Enquirer, now special correspondent for The Hollywood Reporter, covering the so-called hush money trial of Donald Trump. Lachlan, thank you.
Cheers.